All right, so yesterday it was the sixth inning and the Cubs were down 10-2. It was raining, it was like 20 degrees outside, wind chill. And the Cubs came all the way back and they won 14-10. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the sermon. The sermon is not about comebacks or anything like that. I just thought it was very important that you know that information. Last week, we looked at the church as a flock. We've been looking at the metaphors of the church. We're trying to grow as individuals and as a church. This is our job, basically, as Christians, from the time we become a Christian until we go see the Lord. It's our job to grow more and more like Jesus Christ and to grow more and more in a group, as a church, as a whole, into the church that God would call us to be. So we've been looking at what are we as a church and looking at the different metaphors. And last week we looked at the church as a flock. And we looked at Jesus as the chief shepherd. We started off in Psalm 23, this beautiful psalm that we're, you know, most of us are familiar with, that just looks at God as the one who cares for us, who leads us to those green pastures, who protects us, who takes care of us, who feeds us, who leads us, who tends us. Then we moved to Ezekiel 34 and looked at that a little bit, where in the Old Testament, God also called for other leaders, other shepherds to care for his people, Israel. But those shepherds, instead of caring for the sheep, they took advantage of them. They did not do what they were called to do. And so in Ezekiel 34, there's this prophecy of God saying, I myself am going to come find the sheep. I myself am going to send my servant David, or the Messiah, because this was after David, to be their shepherd. So this is a prophecy that God himself would come, the Messiah would come and shepherd his people. And then we saw that in John chapter 10, how Jesus Christ came to shepherd his people, came to be the good shepherd. We finished by starting to look at how God calls there to be under shepherds, under him who he entrusts to help care for his flock by leading the local churches. So we're going to look at that terminology today. We're going to see that those under shepherds are most often referred to as elders. This may be a term you've heard, but I'm not sure whether we all have a full grasp of its meaning or how it was used or if it's important. So I'm going to take us to some passages that show just how prevalent elders are in Scripture. And with the number of times it's mentioned, it's clearly of great importance. So this is why we're exploring the topic. It's something we really want to, as a church, have a handle on. What is this role? What is it all about? So let's take a look, actually. Open up your Bibles. We're going to start in the book of Acts. Acts talks about the early church as the gospel was spreading. We're going to start on page 1102 of that Bible in the pew in front of you. We're going to just kind of move through the book of Acts in several places that talk about elders and their role. We're going to start in Acts chapter 11. Take a look at verses 29 and 30. Acts 11, 29 and 30. It says, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They did this, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So they decided to get a gift together. They sent it to Judea, and they sent it by Barnabas and Saul to the elders. The elders were the one that would receive it and then distributed it. Turn a couple of pages over to Acts chapter 14 and look at verse 23. It says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. It's either appointed elders or ordained elders, but in each church, there's this group of elders that Paul and Barnabas helped to either select or ordain for the people to help lead those churches. Turn over another page or so to Acts 15. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6. It says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. Turn now to Acts chapter 20. I'm going to look at verse 17. It's a really quick one. It says, for Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And then turn over to Acts 21 and look at verse 17 through 19. It says, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. So we see through these verses throughout Acts, elders were those who were leaders in the church. They were the ones receiving, distributing gifts. They were the ones who were meeting with the apostles. We saw there's a doctrinal controversy here that the elders and the apostles got together to talk about, to work on, to work through. Apostles, by the way, while we're defining terms, apostles were a select group that saw, that witnessed with their own eyes the resurrected Jesus and were personally commissioned by Jesus. And then they helped to plant and spread the gospel. They helped to spread the message, to watch over the churches. These were the apostles. And then the elders were the leaders within each one of those local churches. And so they would get together. They would talk about these doctrinal issues. They would hear reports from Paul, we see in these verses. They were those leaders in the church. So we see this in the book of Acts. We also see it in the epistles. We're not going to look at all these, but there's Philippians, there's Titus. We will look at in a moment. There's James 5:14, which says, if is anyone among you sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So it was the elders that they called together to pray over those who were sick. There's one more passage that we're going to take a closer look at today, and that's 1 Peter chapter 5. So go ahead and turn there. This is on page 1214 of those Bibles in front of you. 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. It's a lot of page turning today. I know you guys are doing a good job. I can hear it. I appreciate it. Thank you for looking through this. These verses are also in the sermon notes that you have in the bulletin. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 5 says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, we're going to see a few things in these verses. We're going to look at the specifics of the role of elder in the coming weeks. But for now, we see in general the role is that of a shepherd. We see that in the first two verses there. He's exhorting the elders. What is he exhorting them to? Shepherd the flock. Verse 2, I exhort you to shepherd the flock. Last week, yes, we are all sheep in that sense, in the metaphor that we looked at last week. We talked about how that doesn't mean we're just mindless sheep that are just supposed to sit there and do whatever we're told. We talked about the Bereans from Acts chapter 17 who were to look and see in the Bible if what Paul was telling them was true. But we are to be together as one flock who are cared for by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we are all sheep, but the Bible does say that some are more mature, some are further along in the process, and those people are to help shepherd the other sheep. And in a sense, again, it's shepherds who are also sheep. This is to happen throughout the church. This is something that we've been talking about. We've been looking at the metaphors of how the younger, the less mature in the church are should be learning from the older people in the church. I know there's a temptation for younger people to just want to like be around younger people because younger people are cool and older people are lame. And stuff like that. But the Bible makes it so clear that there's to be a family, the church is to be a family, and it's to be younger people, older people, and the younger people desperately need to learn from the older people about how to be lame, right? Because if you don't learn from them, you're never going to grow up to be lame. So this is what needs to happen throughout the church, is that the more mature are bringing up the less mature to be mature Christians. And so every sheep basically is going to have a little shepherd role in them. But you are to have these capital S shepherds, or more specifically these capital E elders, the one who act as sort of these shepherds underneath the chief shepherd for the church. There's this term in verse 2 of 1 Peter 5 that we've been looking at, this term exercise oversight. Now the Greek word there is episkopuntes, and this is the verb, the noun is episkopos, and that means overseer. I read the verses that use the term elders in Scripture, but actually there are two terms that describe the same office, and those two terms are elder and overseer. The elder, the Greek, is presbyteroi. These terms may sound somewhat familiar to you. And overseer, the Greek, again, is episkopos. And that comes from the epi is above, and the skopos is looking. So it means above looking, looking over. So again, you have these two terms that are used to describe elder, elder and overseer. Some translations might use bishop for overseer as a term. And another term you guys might have heard, this is just the Old English term for overseer. Sorry, for elder. All right? Actually, for overseer. I know this can sound confusing, so I'm going to make it really simple for myself and you. Basically, there are two terms to describe this role of elder. Elder and overseer. Now, you should be asking yourself and asking me a particular question right now, and something should be coming to your mind, which is, how do you know that elder and overseer are the same office? How do you know they're the same role? If there's two different words used in Scripture, how do you know they're the same? Okay, so ask me. Right? How do I know what? this is what I mean by you guys are not sheep, even though I'm telling you what to say and you're saying it. That's a bad example. But the point is, I don't want to just stand up here and say elders and overseers are the same people and have you go, okay, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I want you to ask that question. Well, how do you know that they're the same? Right? Does the Scripture make clear that they're the same? So since you have asked me that question, I will answer it by having you go back to Acts chapter 20. We're going to see how it's clear that these two words refer to the same role, the same office. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17, this one we read before, says, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church." And so he sends for the elders of the church, and then the rest of this passage has this interaction between Paul and the elders of the church. And then in verse 28, this is still talking about the same group, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." So he calls the elders together in verse 17 and verse 28. He refers to them as overseers and saying that their job is to watch over the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers of. So they are shepherds, they are overseers, they are elders. It's the same group. Turn to Titus now, chapter 1. This is on page 1193. We're going to see this again, and it makes clear that these two words, these two, are referring to the same role. Titus chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. It's on page 1193. Says, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain." So again, he uses the term elder in the first few parts of that, point elders in every town, an elder must be blameless, and then in verse 7, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless. So again, it's talking about the same office, an elder, an overseer, the same. So why two terms? Elder seems to emphasize the qualifications, while overseer emphasizes the role. So an elder, not necessarily old. I don't want to put this as, okay, this is all just about age. And if you look at Scripture, Timothy was a fairly young man, but Paul puts a lot of trust in him. And he has that role of an elder, someone who's discipling and teaching others. But it often comes with age, and it's about Christian maturity. We're going to look specifically in the coming weeks about the qualifications of an elder. And this is the type of character that all of us also are going to be striving for. So it's not just going to apply to like a small subset, but it's going to apply to all of us. We're going to look at, you know, those qualifications a little bit more individually as we come. But again, it's speaking about Christian maturity. So an elder has reached a particular level of Christian maturity. Then overseer looks at the role of the elder. The overseer watches over, manages, and leads the church. I want you to note too that in these passages, the overseer is always used in the context of shepherding, of overseeing, not like a taskmaster. So this term could be used, you know, to describe someone who is just like in the Old Testament when you had the taskmasters who were ruling over the kind of the slaves or that type of thing. You could imagine someone standing there with a clipboard and just kind of watching over in judgment over everyone, or watching over to sort of rule over everyone. But it's clear in these passages, it's clear in our 1 Peter passage here, that they're exercising oversight as shepherds. And not just the any shepherd in general, but with the same heart that Jesus watches over us. That's why we looked at last week about the good shepherd, about the chief shepherd who loved us with an incredible love. And he's, you know, contrasted with the shepherds of Ezekiel 34 who were just out to use the sheep for their own food, for their wool, and didn't really care for the sheep. But we looked at the heart of Jesus who laid down his life for his sheep. The chief shepherd was also the sacrificial lamb. See, elders are shepherds. We talked about again, they're also the humble sheep who should understand. And in this passage we see in 1 Peter 5, this in verse 4, when it says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And this is just be a reminder for those who are putting themselves in the role of a shepherd. So you think that you can think you have a choice whenever you reach sort of that place of being a shepherd, being an elder, being in a place of authority. You can have those temptations of being the type of Ezekiel 34 shepherd who says, like, let's see what I can get out of this. Or you can be the shepherd that is after the heart of Christ, who says, let's see, you know, how much I can give. Let's see how much I can care. Let me lay down my life and sacrifice myself for the sheep. And if you read, if your thought is to be a shepherd, to want to be a shepherd, that's a good thought. There should also come a whole lot of sort of healthy fear along with that. If you read Ezekiel 34, the language that God uses about the bad shepherds of Israel at that time is intense. And he says, look, I need to come and be the shepherd because they're not doing it. And so as sort of local shepherds, it's a great responsibility. It's a great joy. But there should also be a certain amount of fear that comes along with it, in that we know the chief shepherd is going to return. No one who is in leadership, no one who should be, you know, puffing themselves up feeling like, you know, I'm the top. Because all of us should know and should tremble that there's a chief shepherd that's going to return. And that chief shepherd bought the flock with his own blood. When you think about what Jesus did to create the flock, it's stunning. It's incredible. None of us can fully grasp what Christ did on the cross. In that, the capital C, you can't get a bigger capital C, capital S, chief shepherd. He's the creator of everything. You know, he's the God of the universe. He is ultimate authority over everything, and he laid down his life to create what's in front of me right now, to create children of God. God laid down everything to create this family, to create this flock. And so when you think about being a shepherd, an under-shepherd of that group, it's an awesome responsibility for God to say, that group that I love so much to buy and make and create, I want you to help care for that group, to shepherd that group. This is what it means to be an overseer. It's easy to again, look at the role of an overseer and think of someone with a clipboard, or to think of an elder or a leadership group in a church as just sitting around a table making decisions or something like that. We have an awesome table upstairs. If you guys haven't seen it, it's awesome. It's really long. It's a beautiful table. And part of the job of being a church leader is sitting around that table and making decisions, but it's not the heart of the job. The heart of the job is being a shepherd, is caring for each individual person in the flock, caring for the people who are not yet in the flock. That is the heart of the role. There is that necessity to sit around the table again and discuss things and figure things out and make decisions. But again, that is not the heart of the job. It's not the heart of the role. The role of a shepherd is and has always been a dirty job. You know, because of verses like Psalm, passages like Psalm 23, because none of us have ever been shepherds. Anyone? No. Okay. Like, we think of it as in kind of highway, just like we look at the cross and we think like, yeah, the cross, that's our eternal life. And forget about the fact that it was a symbol of shame and humility. And then the same with being a shepherd. We're going through Genesis on Sunday nights, and we talked about how in Egypt the Israelites were viewed as shepherds and this particularly lowly group that they wouldn't associate with because they were shepherds. Like, being a shepherd is not a glorious position. It's a position of dirtiness, of humility. This is the role that an elder, that a leader in a church is called to be. I want to look at one other aspect that these verses show about elders in the church. And that is, there is to be multiple shepherds in a church and not just one. We've seen in all of the verses that there were always multiple elders. So if you guys were out there thinking like, okay, shepherd, you're a pastor, isn't that your job? You're supposed to be, you know, the shepherd. And that's certainly true. But the Bible always talks about being there a multiple of shepherds, a multiple of elders that are to fill that role. This concept has roots in the Old Testament. In Numbers, this term is used about elders that partnered with Moses in order to care for the people. And that verse is in your notes as well. And also, to add one more term to the mix, there is pastor, which is poimenos in Greek, which means shepherd. And so the role of the elders to shepherd, and then the term pastor also means shepherd. I want you to, if you can, turn to one last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at verse 17. So 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." So what does this verse tell us? It makes clear that you have a group of elders. Again, so let's kind of recap a little bit. We talk about the importance of elders in the church. It talks about it a lot throughout Scripture. Uses these two terms for it, elder and overseer, one talking about the qualifications, one talking about the role. We talked about how you have in Scripture a plurality of these elders in each church. And then now we see in 1 Timothy 5:17 that a subset of that group are those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So within that group of shepherd leaders, of pastors, you have a subset within that are the preachers and teachers. Now, in our vernacular, that subset is normally referred to as pastors because there's a close association with pastoring and teaching in Ephesians 4:11. In some churches, that role is referred to as teaching elders, that you have this group of elders, and then within that group, you have some that do the preaching and teaching, and these are the teaching elders. There can be a little bit of confusion sometimes, because sometimes this term pastors is also used about people who have not necessarily reached that place of being elders, whether it be youth pastors or something like that, because pastoring is also a gifting in Scripture. It's a spiritual gift, and that's what I was kind of referring to before, that throughout the church we're going to have people who are leading other people. We're going to have people who are sort of pastoring, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those people are elders or the teaching elders or the pastor elders of a church. So as we go forward, I want us to be looking at what are the qualifications and what are the role of, according to Scripture, of these elders. So where do we go from there? And also, how does this relate to the role of deacons? I know some of you may be kind of looking at this as being a little bit like dry material or something like that, or why are we going through all these definitions and that type of thing. But I feel like it's really important to look at what does Scripture say about how a church is supposed to operate, because again, the purpose for each one of us being here is to grow individually and to grow as a church, and as a growing, healthy church, this is how we're going to impact this world for Jesus Christ. You know, some people may be asking, like, well, or thinking, like, I thought we're doing pretty good as a church. And I think we are absolutely doing really good as a church, really well as a church. I love the people that I'm working with here. I love the leadership here. I already mentioned I love the table upstairs. It's a really great table. You guys should see it. But again, I don't think we should ever sit back and say, okay, we're good. I think as individuals, we should always be looking to how can I grow? And as a church, we should always be looking at how can I grow to be more and more like the Bible says. And also, when we talk about, you know, being shepherds and those that care for the congregation, I'm certainly not caring for this church right now by myself. There's so many people in these pews that are caring for each other and that are doing a lot of shepherding work. But as we grow, especially, I'm going to need, you know, more people by my side that sort of take that elevated role to be able to care not for just the people here, but hopefully as these pews, you know, as we get closer and closer to people, because there's more and more people in these pews, we're going to need that infrastructure to be able to care for what we pray that God will send our way. And again, as I don't want to draw any conclusion, that as we go through this study, I want us all to be taking notes. When we get to the end of the study, you know, we're going to look together and say, like, okay, this is where we are right now. Maybe this is where the Bible says we can be, and how do we get from here to there if that's what God is calling us to do, if that's what His Scripture is calling us to do. So if you guys care about this church, which I think you do, I want you to be here on Sunday mornings. I want you to pull out your pen. I want you to be taking notes. I want you to dive into this study. I want you to ask me questions about it. Like I've said before, I'm going to plant myself downstairs. And if you want to talk to me right after the sermon, if you want to talk to me during the week, I want to talk to you about these issues. I know that each one of you cares about this church, and I do too, with all my heart. And I want us to keep growing. I want us to keep studying. And so I would love to talk to you more about that. All right? You guys understand at least where I'm going, what I'm saying? All right. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this place, God. I thank you for this church body, for this family, for this flock. God, we are so amazed and in awe of the fact that you, as supreme, as authority, as God of the universe, came into this world, lived a life of humble service, and died on a cross as our good shepherd, as our chief shepherd, as the one who cared so much for us that he laid down his life as a lamb. God, I pray that that truth would just humble our hearts and just help us to be in awe of that, of you. God, I pray that we would feel and know the love that led you to do that. And God, I pray that you would help me to help care for this flock, and I pray that you would grow me up and then grow each one in here up to be more and more like your Son, Jesus. And I pray that you would grow this church up more and more. God, that each week that goes by, we would become more like the church that you're calling us to be, more like individuals that you're calling us to be. God, we want to impact this community. We want to impact this world for you and for your gospel. And God, I pray that everything that we do would be towards that end of glorifying you and of doing your will here on earth. God, I pray that as we study your word, we would be unified around your word. God, not around anything that I say, but around what your word says. I pray that if there are areas in my own understanding that are lacking around this subject, God, that you would make those clear to me and clear to this church how you would have us be. God, I thank you for those who have spent years, decades serving this church and have brought it through tough times and have been through it in good times and have done so much work serving you and have done so much good in this place. And God, I pray that there would be a future that's even brighter here, where this would be a place that just changes lives and grows people up in their knowledge of you, and that affects this community and this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.